Vážení televizní diváci, náš spolupracovník Tomáš Orinský píše pravidelně každý týden pro britské listy neuvěřitelně zajímavé reportáže o tom, jaká je situace v Polsku u severního souseda České republiky. A právě v těchto dnech napsal 200. pokračování tohoto svého seriálu, který se jmenuje Mezitím v Absurdistánu. Budeme mluvit v tomto rozhovoru britských listů s Tomášem Orinským anglicky. Omlouvám se za ty české titulky. A já se ho chci zeptat v první řadě na to. Mr. Orinský, thank you very much for writing for these fantastic pieces for us. I mean, 200 pieces, that's a fairly large number. And obviously, that's almost 5 years ago, isn't it, that you started? Can you actually comment on, but Poland has really kind of changed over the time that you've been writing for us.
How?
Well, that's the thing. It changed beyond everything I could imagine when I started this series. From the country that was like portrayed as a success story of transformation from authoritarian to a democratic member of European Union and European partner, we become like pariah of Europe. Nobody really wants to speak with our leaders anymore. The country is divided as never before, I think, and the economy is starting to struggle, as we can see from recent rise in inflation, and also we can see such a great social changes.
I don't understand it, because Poland certainly under communism had this fantastic reputation of being an incredibly liberal country. I remember just a little personal thing. I remember this was sometime way back in the 80s. There was a officially published academic article but in a communist academic publishing house in Poland, and it was some kind of social science article, and there were references in the article to the broadcasts of, footnotes, to the broadcasts of Radio Free Europe. This was something absolutely unbelievable for Czechoslovakia under communism, that somebody would be allowed, you would be imprisoned if you actually quoted Radio Free Europe. And it was told, I was told that in Poland, in academic articles, you could publish whatever you wanted. This was the 80s. Poland always incredibly freedom-loving, open, democratic. How come it has changed? Can you explain it?
I maybe use the words of a man that I recently interviewed for my other podcast, which is in Polish. This is Józef Pinior, who is like legendary member of the Solidarity movement during the 80s. And he told me that the problem is that while the Solidarity movement was a true people movement rooted in the workers' rights movement, and it was in fact a bit of left wing. Now, when you even ask young people who learn about that now from like current media and current historical narration, this struggle against the communist regime is portrayed as a fight between the good and the bad, when the good is the right and the bad is the left, which were communists. And this has nothing to do with the truth. See, back in like say 1981. People were fighting with the system because they had no other option. Those people who in 1980s would become leaders of the opposition, hardline activists and dissidents perhaps, they just can't be bothered fighting with the right anymore if they can enjoy their freedom and go somewhere to Europe.
So you think it was the brain drain that all the best people left? I mean, it is true that there was a lot of emigration from Poland. So you think the best people left Poland, and what is left is just basically silly people?
Well, it's not to this extent, but I do think that was a significant factor in that, and that's why many people, instead of just fighting and opposing the system, go abroad, and this is not the reason why I'm abroad, to be frank, but I don't blame them, because who would like to be beaten up by the police and having to protest and fight for the basic rights if they can go to any of European countries and feel safe and have the citizen rights respected and just basically be having their life in a normal country as you.
But what fascinates me is that when I remember Poland in the 80s, there was also this joke about how two dogs meet on the Czech-Polish border. I don't know whether you know it. The Polish dog wants to go to Czechoslovakia because he says, well, I can get something to eat there. And the Czech dog goes to Poland and says, yes, but you can, in Poland, you can bark freely, you know. So that was what it was. And it wasn't, as the propaganda now says, that it was the right ring was correct and everything else. It was actually open. It was you had a wide variety of views which were permissible. And how, apart from the fact that the best people have left Poland, this kind of absolute attraction for many, many, many people of this authoritarian, one-sided view is fascinating for me. I mean, it's also, Poland has 40 million people. It's a very major power within the European Union. So it is really quite serious, isn't it?
Maybe it's a church's influence, because we do have a very strong union between the church and the ruling party, although it's not going great for either of them. I think recently Poland become like the fastest country where the people leave the religion the fastest in the world. So soon we may join you, the Czech Republic, with being one of the most atheist countries in Europe.
So how is it now? Okay, how many people are actually the very ardent supporters of religion in Poland now?
Most like casual faithful are leaving the church, but the hardliners are growing in strength and are becoming more extreme. They infiltrated the government and state institutions, universities, and they are having really, really strong influence on the social life in Poland.
Can I ask about the young people? Obviously, there's a lot of probably indoctrination, church indoctrination, all that in schools. How do young people react to it?
The young people, which is probably nothing unusual, are much more polarized than the older generations. So the support for extreme right, like Konfederacja, is growing, but also the support for the left is growing significantly. So I think we are just before the generation change, and the young people will become like more important in Polish politics. This will bring change, and I think it will only get worse, because on the right side there will be a fight for the place who will take Kaczynski's place, and on the left also Donald Tusk is no longer connecting with younger people, I'm afraid, because he had nothing to offer to them. They were told for many years that there's no time to discuss LGBT rights, there's no time to discuss abortion rights, there's no time to discuss workers' rights. On the contrary, Donald Tusk government relaxed the employment law, so now most of young people are caught in this precariat. Some new people need to be seen in politics who will connect with the new generations, and we do see some new people like Agnieszka Dziemianowicz-Bąk from the left, or Franek Sterczewski, who's independent, but he ran with Koalicja Obywatelska, with Donald Tusk party. Well, we see also extreme right people like Krzysztof Bosak, who is quite prominent on the right.
Now, we all know that actually Poland, after the Second World War, was kind of shifted. There's basically two Polands, because on the one hand there is the eastern part and the kind of western part which used to be Germany. I understand that this may have a major impact on how much the population of these two different Polands actually support the authoritarian government of the Law and Justice Party. Is that correct?
I would say it goes even further, because if you look closely at all the maps, you see the divisions going along the lines of the partitions from 19th century.
Really?
You can see like Galicia, which was Austro-Hungarian. You can see the part that used to be Russian, and those are mostly like pro-government, pro-right-wing. So you can have like Polish equivalent of the Bible Belt in southeast Poland, in Podkarpacie, where people are the most conservative. And
that would be the nearest to Slovakia, wouldn't it, basically?
Yes. And the west, where people were like mixing arrivals from the other parts of Poland. For example, Wrocław, where I'm from, it's often said that it's getting its most of the intellectual elite from Lviv, which is now Ukraine after the war, but actually most of its inhabitants came from Poznań, from central Poland. So we had all these people coming there, mixing together, learning each other ways. And you can even see that in the language, because Wrocław is the place when they speak the cleanest Polish, like the Queen's Polish, you could say, because all those influences and local accents, local dialects has cancelled each other after the war. And you can see this clear divide between Western and Eastern Poland, but it's, as I said, more along the 19th century.
Is there also a difference between the countryside and cities?
It is, although I'm not sure if that difference is so significant, because the countryside has changed dramatically, especially after we joined the European Union. So we still think about the countryside as the land of farmers, but actually all those like small farmers have disappeared now. Mm. In average village, you just got a couple of big farmers, and the rest of the people are living more like city style of the life, and they work in the nearby towns. Actually, most of the people in countryside now are interested in the same issues as the peers from the big cities are.
Finally, final question. Okay, so what is the difference? Percentages. How many people actually in Poland, how many percentages support the ruling authoritarian party, and how many people are supporting the opposition, and what will happen at the next election?
I told before to my readers, I no longer dare to predict anything. But if you look at the polls, PiS still has a hardline group of supporters, which is probably varying between 20% and 30%. Mm-hmm. And they really have a strong grasp over them, because those people are like, I would say, like a sect. They got their own media, including the public broadcasters, public radio, and now all those local papers that were taken over by the government-controlled oil company. And they just being pumped with this government propaganda 24/7. And it is very, very hard to reach to them. And I would say it's not even that those people have different facts. They even have a different morality. If I may digress slightly, I spoke recently with a member of my family who is a strong PiS supporter, and I wanted to change the subject and told them a story from my holidays about, I just showed them pictures from my holidays in Orkney, and there was this picture of this lonely grave in the British Isles of the girl who committed suicide after she became pregnant with some sailor who ran away, and she was so persecuted by her community that she just basically hung herself. And I just told her this story because it was on the picture, and she asked why. And I expected from a Catholic person to hear some words of remorse or of sadness about this story, but she said, like, oh, that's very good. I miss those times where those values in the society were valued so much, that they cared so much about that she got properly married and she doesn't have sex outside her marriage. And at the moment of this conversation, I haven't really clicked about it. But later, I just clicked that this is completely different morality, and you can see that as well in this crisis on the Belarusian border. Those who claim, and I'm not saying that from my head, there was some sociology professor who actually did some research, more Catholic you are, more likely you are to dehumanize, well, to not treat those people like human beings, to just think they are Lukashenko pawns and they deserve to die in the forest and stuff like that. And I don't think it will be easy to glue Poland together if our society is so divided. We not only have different political views, but we have different facts we talk about, and we have different morality by now. And I'm very pessimistic about the future of my country.
Dziękuję bardzo. Thank you very much, Tomáš. Vážení televizní diváci, děkujeme vám za pozornost. Naschledanou.